This is the September edition of the Diamond Light Source podcast, and this month we're shedding light on the field of X-ray imaging. Still to come, we discover how scientists are imaging rocks found deep beneath the Earth's surface and calculating their potential to store carbon dioxide, something that, if effective, could prove essential in the battle against climate change. But first, we meet Professor Peter Lee from the University of Manchester, who's hoping to use diamond for some clarity about the structure of metal alloys.
I study the solidification of metals, the processing of metals, as well as other materials. During that, there's all sorts of kinetic reactions happening and microstructures forming. So the strength of any alloy is not just in its composition, but that composition causes it to form small crystals, different phases, and those phases actually very often are nanostructured. So strengthening goes from the scale of 10 nanometers, where you have small precipitates which are pinned. And in fact, in alloys, nano reinforcement has been used for over 103 years now. And that then evolves and goes up to the scale of microns and then into a structure at a scale of millimeters. I use diamond in order to investigate the composition, morphology, and interaction of these different phases and structures.
And what particular alloys do you look into or focus on?
Well, one of the main ones I look at is aluminium alloys. These alloys are used from everything from automotive through to aerospace components. The bulk of these alloys in high-performance applications has been using primary aluminium. The reason they use primary aluminium instead of secondary or recycled aluminium is when we recycle aluminium, we almost as people end up slipping in various different steel components. It also just comes through when you break up and recycle an automobile, you end up with very simply nuts and bolts, which are almost always steel. We then remelt it. The iron concentration in the alloy goes up. Adding that iron concentration, as soon as it gets over 0.5 weight percent, starts causing another phase that when it's very fine can be reinforcing, but when it's large can actually be detrimental to the properties. It forms a phase which is highly faceted. It has flat planar edges, sort of like a diamond. But the phase it forms, instead of being like a diamond, which is nice and chunky, is elongated or needle-like. Now, imagine structures which are very pointy inside of a material. They act like stress concentrators, and so they can actually initiate creep damage and cause early failure.
And now knowing this information, are you trying to see what's possible, I guess, to make recycled aluminium alloys more desirable?
Exactly. Well, these structures go from nano, and when they're nano, they're beneficial. When you start getting the iron level up, they actually can become as long as 200 or microns or almost a millimeter long. And it's when there are these long, sharp shards that they can be detrimental. What we're using diamond for is in order to determine how we can alter the composition, go through and add very small percentages of different alloy compositions, or add heterogeneous nuclei that will convert these from a few large structures to many very fine structures and convert something that's detrimental into something that's actually beneficial within the alloy. If we can do that, we can make the recycled alloys as useful as the primary aluminium alloys.
And how much of a challenge, I guess, is that? What do you need to do to go in there and break then those long shards and increase the strength around there as well?
It's a tremendous challenge. These alloys have 6 to 8 different components. Each of these components are varied in weight percent from a few parts per million up to going to 1,000 parts per million. If you now think of a sort of combinatorial experiment where you're varying from parts per million through to thousands of parts per million with 8 different components, that very quickly you can work out that it's actually billions of experiments you can perform in different compositions. What we're using diamond for is to directly observe the kinetics to determine what are the critical phenomena. It's a real challenge because the few things that we predicted that do seem to be probable aren't stable in molten aluminium. Molten aluminium had a great ability to dissolve many, many things within it. You also have to be able to make these particles at a very tiny size and get them into this molten melt, which means that you need to be able to have them fully wetted by the aluminium. So there's lots of challenges. We've got lots of great science to carry on doing.
But what are the benefits, really, of using increasing amounts of recycled aluminium alloys rather than primary sources?
The huge benefit of using recycled aluminium is that when you make the first original primary aluminium, it comes from digging up bauxite, reducing the bauxite to alumina, then taking the alumina, which is basically one aluminium atom, two oxygen atoms, reducing that. When you do that, each of those oxygen atoms is converted into a CO2 atom. You are consuming huge amounts of energy. All of that means that you're producing somewhere between 7 and 10 kilograms of CO2 per kilogram of primary aluminium. When you recycle it, you're really just remelting and also purifying it. That, in general, uses less than 0.5 of a kilogram, or 1/20th of the CO2 is released. That, if we can go through and convert just 5% of the world's primary aluminium production to secondary in new applications, which are high value added, it means we can save 13 million metric tons of CO2 per year.
That's quite a saving, simply by understanding the internal structure and chemistry of metal alloys. That was Professor Peter Lee from the University of Manchester.